Hello, and welcome to the Live Free and Ham podcast. This is our bi-weekly show. We focus on the world of ham radio, particular emphasis on New Hampshire and in New England. So whether you're a loyal listener or first-time guest, we're thrilled to have you as part of our community. Since our show is totally supported by you guys in the community, you can always help us in several ways. First, if you leave us a review on iTunes, it lets others know about the podcast and it also helps us improve. And we appreciate all the feedback that we've gotten, so keep it coming. Secondly, you can always support us through our Patreon and Buy Us a Beer links. They're all either in our show notes or on our website, as every bit gets poured back into the Live Free and Ham community and the support of this show. And then lastly, always head over to our website, subscribe to our channel, check out the podcast. And if you haven't checked out any of our merch, you can always take a look at that and stay updated on our website all the time. And as always, we thank you for your continued support from all of our hosts. But before we get into today's show, I'm your host, Eric, call sign N1JUR, and I'm joined by
Ryan, W1SNH.
And Todd, W1STJ.
Hey guys, well, it's another show episode. This one's going to be a good one. We're going to do a little therapy session here and sit down and get into the brain of Todd here a little bit and figure out what his thought process is around GoBox. But before we kind of get going, let's do our usual check-in here. What have you guys done this past week in terms of ham radio or just in general over the past couple of days? What's been going on with you, Ryan, in that area?
Yeah, I've had a lot of fun hunting. Propagation, I just hit it right this just a couple mornings ago, and it was as if the guy was a local station on an NVIS antenna. I got Hawaii on POTA. It was awesome.
Yeah. No, really?
Yeah,
it was great.
Oh, man.
And the cool thing was he was working split. He threw his call sign out. I replied right away. And he's like, "Oh, New Hampshire, that's great. Glad to get you in the books." And it was confirmed. It was great. So,
wow, dude, I need Hawaii for my worked all states.
So do I.
I am going to be the last person on the planet to get Hawaii, and I'll have to fly there to do it.
Don't you know the POTA code there, Ryan? You're supposed to let us know when you're getting a good state.
On Discord.
I've been telling. I always, every time DC comes up, I always send it to Eric. I don't know why you can't get DC. I got like 1,000 of them.
Yep. DC is, why can't you get North Dakota? That one I've got like.
I never see anyone doing North Dakota. I'm like, who's in North Dakota?
There's three people at least. I got three call signs that are all unique out of there. So, and one of them was doing a POTA.
Yep. So, yeah, nailed Hawaii. That was great. And it reminds me, I need to go back and figure out which states I'm missing so I can start focusing in on that. But I'll be a project for one of these evenings.
Yeah. I spend a lot of time, basically making a checklist and analyzing the logs and, trying to figure out where my worked all states are. Because if I can get that one, then I think I'm, very capable of getting DXCC. But anyway, so what's been going on with you, Todd? How's been the week how in ham radio?
Week's been pretty good. I got my iPad changed. I traded my old one in, got a new one that has the cellular built in. Ooh. So that works a lot better with my Flex, because I was doing the hotspot through my phone and it would kept disconnecting. I don't think it's as strong as if you go directly through it. So anyway, I've been working those overnight shifts and working Australia, New Zealand. It's been pretty cool. I like working Australia. It's I like their accents, and they're in a totally different season. between it's on 20 meters, which I didn't realize. You think 20 meters is like a day, your day, it's day for them. That's but for us, I mean, 20 meters has been pretty poor during the day last couple of weeks, and they're like booming in, and it's, and then they're like 4:30, it just dies. The whole just goes flat. So that was kind of cool. Been doing that a lot of FT8 while I'm doing these overnight shifts. And I probably pick up about 30 or so, when I'm doing it. So it's been good. And most of them are DX. And like I said, if you can stay up late, everyone wants to talk to North America. It's like when we're in the evening, everyone is trying to get them. Well, it's kind of vice versa. So in the middle, there'll be a pile up. I'll throw my call sign out there and they'll say, "Oh, it's North American." Boom, right off. So nice. Pretty good.
Oh man. So that's a, you know, one of those things, same here. I mean, like Ryan said, the bands were kind of up and down this past week. I was on vacation, you know, went up to the great state of Maine there, had a, you know, nice rental. It was great hanging out with the family. Not even the first night that I was there, the first thing I did was string up an EdFed. I was out in the backyard. My wife was rolling her eyes consistently over and over again, yelling at me, why are you doing ham radio? And I'm like, because it's my vacation too. So I got the EdFed up, had the radio out there. But the bands, man, they were just tough. Most of the time I did, 20 meters. I was hunting for POTA, couldn't make more than a couple of contacts. I don't know whether I was just in a bad spot or whatever. We weren't directly on the ocean, which I think might have been, my saving grace. But, I think I made a total of, a dozen contacts total, and half of those were, FT8, because by the time I got to a point of not being able to hear stations or whatnot, I just flipped over to FT8 and, tried to make the best out of, as they say, lemons with lemonade. And most of them actually were, I decided to do 15 and 17, and 15 and 17 actually worked pretty well when 20 was just kind of really just noisy. So
yeah, 15 is my go-to band when 20 is not working right. I always have pretty good luck, at least when I'm doing POTA.
Yep. Yeah, and then the other piece was I had my All-Star node in the truck, and it was great because my dad, who is still in rehab down in the Cape, was able to chit chat and check in. And so I was, every time we were in the truck, the access, my All-Star node just automatically connects to the hotspot, and everything's all good. And so I hopped on Ham Radio 2.0's All-Star, hub, and talked to my dad a couple times when he, dialed in on Echolink on my home node. So it was a blast. It was, it was good to stay in touch, still play radio, even though it wasn't like, what my, in what I envisioned in my head, that I'd be like knocking down pile ups left and right, hoping that, I could, hand the mic over to my daughter and then she can continue on the, the long pile ups, but that just did not work in my favor. So it is what it is, but it was still fun. I enjoyed it, and definitely a good time, both radio. And my sister and brother-in-law finally got to see a side that, they normally don't get to see. They know me as Mr. IT guide and whatever. So playing with radio, they had a lot of questions, although they thought it was weird because my wife made it weird. They either tolerated it or they just had a semi interest into it, but they let me do my thing and I was quite happy. And I got to play with Todd's Flex remotely, which was even better.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, when people, they make fun of it, and then when they see you doing it and they see all of a sudden you're talking to someone in, Europe, Chile, Brazil, Australia, they're like, what? I said, yeah, I just got a wire hanging up in a tree and, yep. I'm talking to the sky in Australia. But the guy I was working with last night, he was pretty impressed. He goes, wow. He goes, you're not joking, huh? I said, I told you. I'm like, it's all good.
Very cool. Awesome. Well, so let's kind of dive into getting deeper into the deep thoughts of Todd and his Go Box here. So as I said in the beginning, we're going to be doing a little therapy session, kind of tearing into Todd's process to building his next Go Box. I mean, he's already been under the tutelage of Ryan a little bit, who's built an amazing Go Box, used it in field day. It's proven very well. And as we may or may not have shared, it has come to the rescue on several occasions to when other radios have fallen to, the victim of the finals burying it. They step right in and hit Ryan's Go Box, and his team ICOM, took over and just made the events continue on like nothing ever happened and never skipped a beat. So, Ryan can definitely share a lot of his great design in his Go Box. But I think what I really want to do is we're going to talk about Go Boxes, because we've all done, or we've all seen people do Go Boxes, and we've all gotten a flavor of what we want to do and how we want to put together. But no one really thinks about the process or goes through the process in a group format. So I think this is a good group therapy session, but at the same time, it's really much like, let's laser focus on what Todd's doing and what he was doing with his design and why and where he's going and what feedback he has. So let's kind of start this process, Todd. So kind of set the stage a little bit. What led you to the Go Box? And don't go too deep down the rabbit hole of why you're building a Go Box, but give us a frame of reference to start from, and then we can kind of talk into a little bit of the design and, you know, what you're going to be putting into it is the, kind of the heart of the whole thing here. So start there and let's, you know, let's dive in. Let me get my Freudian, you know, seat in place and, you know, get the analysis going here.
Yeah. I mean, I always wanted to have one. I saw Ryan's last, not this past one, but the year before 2022, his Go Box. And I was like, wow, that is just absolutely awesome. Something that you can just pull out, plug in and, you know, you're good to go. I like doing the portable stuff. I was thinking about getting a 991A and then some people were talking about the Flex and I was going to buy that money anyway. So I said, well, they're making some extra money doing all this overtime. So why not get the Flex and then put my DX10 in a Go Box? So my goal for it is really to be able to bring it out like on a local POTA, you know, throw it in the back of the car, bring it out to a picnic table, plug it in and use it. I think it'll be a little bit better than the 891 only because I'm really familiar with it. It's got a really good, I can pull out some of those weaker stations that I have a little bit harder time with the 891 and, you know, and then have it for field day. And then, like I said, if you go for a road trip, you know, you can basically bring your, like a shack with you, plug in the antenna and, kind of go from there. So that's the plan. Unfortunately, my DX10 is on its way to California to get some work done on it. Good news is it is under warranty, so that's a positive thing. But it did cost me like close to $90 to ship it.
Yeah, shipping's crazy.
Yeah, they told me. So listen to this. I put it in the original box, right? A box that was literally 1 inch bigger was double the price. Yeah. I'm like, are you kidding me? 1 inch. Mm-hmm. So I said, all right, ship it in this box. So I had all the foam and stuff, so it should be good. So they're gonna fix it, send it back to me, and then we'll start building the Go Box.
Cool. Okay. So let's kind of just, you know, build it from here. So you've got an idea what you're building, but the heart and soul of the whole entire Go Box for you is going to be your DX10, and that's it's not going to live anywhere else. It's going to be residing there permanent, you know, as a kind of configuration. Or are you going to design it so you can make it modular to pull it away out of the box if you need it? Or,
well, I'm going to, so I was thinking at first I wanted to do like a whole, the 991A was going to be a shack in the box, right? Like everything I needed. Then you go with the DX10, I was like, oh, maybe I'll put a dual band or a tri-band radio in there. And then I said, you know what? I got my HT. I'm not really going to probably be doing HF and that. Maybe down the road, I'll make another one that'll do everything. But this box, this Go Box is really going to be, I'm looking at a tuner and the radio and maybe like a USB port or a USB-C port and no battery in the box. It's going to be external. So it's basically just going to be the radio and a tuner and maybe a couple of, you know, ports that will plug in, you know, can connect to a battery. So if I want to charge my phone while I'm doing it or something like that. So it's going to be very simple. It's kind of like, you know, Ryan and I have talked about it a lot and, you know, his thought process and I agree with like his thing, like keep it simple and not make it complicated. Keep it clean though. I want to be able to just like really be able to pull it out, unclip the box, plug in the antenna, plug in the radio, I mean the battery and start getting on the air. So I don't want it to be anything where I have to do a lot of things to get it all worked up. I want it to be quick, short and sweet.
Absolutely. And, you know, when I started to build my box, I did a lot of, you know, watching YouTubes and seeing how other people have done it in the past. And there's a few YouTube channels. And, you know, one of the few comments that I heard over and over again is, well, if I was to do it over again, it's in its current state, it's heavy. Or in its current state, I have a big wire mess in the back and I just want to simplify it. So right off the bat, I was thinking, well, you want to keep power, batteries, everything out of the box. And that gives you more versatility with the box. Second was actually the physical size of it. So I had tracked down one of the plastic boxes that some other people had been using. It's called the Gator Case Pro. And they come either in a long depth or a short depth. The short depth is 13 inches. And measuring out the height of it, so I'm using a ICOM 7300, but similar size on the DX10. a 3U height box will work, but it doesn't give you a lot of extra room for other ports on the front or for that ease of manipulating the equipment in the box. So I said, well, instead of trying to fight with it and get it real tight in the box, I'll just upsize it to 4U. And then I have plenty of room to play around with brackets and everything on the inside and make it work easier. I would be interested in the future giving a 3U box a try. Because so you figure, say, let's use field day as like the reference point. You got your folding table, you got a 4U box sitting on the table, and past few winter and summer field days, I've been putting the laptop on top of that 4U case. So it's up kind of high and it works. You know, the ergonomics are fine, but a 3U case would just be a little bit shorter and would fit better on the table with the laptop sitting on top. Okay. But then it's a little tight with the equipment on the inside. So, you know.
So with your box, like, so in your configuration, Ryan, and maybe this kind of, you know, is segueing into Todd's configuration. You could talk a little bit about that with the 4U box. Do you find that it was just, you have everything all shelf rack? Is it all rack mounted or is it all shelves with a gear tied to the shelves, you know, in that configuration?
Yep. So the way it did was I got two 10 inch network rack shelves, and one has the radio mounted on it and the other one is inverted. So I'll say, so we have 4U slots. So the radio is mounted on the bottom on slot one or U number one. The second 10 inch shelf is upside down mounted to slot number four at the very top. And that one, I slice and diced it with an angle grinder and bent the metal up to hold the various equipment in the back. And works great, plenty of room, but it can be condensed a little bit if you wanted to really kind of squeeze out that ergonomics of equipment on the desk during your activation or field day.
Okay. And so we'll get into cabling a second, because I'm kind of just trying to picture it. Maybe if you got a couple of photos, maybe on your website or wherever, we can post in the show notes to get people an idea, you know, for the boxes that you either were using or are using. And then, you know, maybe of your current setup too, it'd be helpful. But yeah, I would say, did you find, like, are you really meticulous with the cable management side of stuff in terms of where all the radios are connected? Or you just kind of like stuff it in there a little bit so it's out of the way?
Yes, very meticulous. So the Messi and Poloni cabling was very beneficial, specifically because they had a real nice 90-degree connector. And that allowed me to, and I forget what port, it might have been coming out of the back of the tuner, to not make a real sharp corner with the coax, but then loop around and go into the radio. And it just really cleaned it up and minimized the amount of coax and, you know, wires running in the back. So custom made coax for the connections. And so you figure out of the back of the radio, at least on my box, I have a wire extended for the CW key. Mm-hmm. That allows me to loop the wire around to the front and set the key anywhere on the desk that I want. And originally I had a port on the front that I'd plug the key into and then the wire, but then the wire would be hanging right down the front of the radio. And I didn't like that.
It drove you nuts, yeah.
Yep. So I ran the wire from the back of the radio and it's zip tied in the back. And I have a second Velcro strap to wrap it up when it's in travel. Mm-hmm. But so CW key can go where you want. It has plenty of length on that extended cable. And then there's a USB cable to plug into the radio. And that can be, you know, that's 6 feet long. So that computer can be put anywhere on the desk. And the only thing other you have to plug into is the coax for the antenna and power, which is a power pole connection.
Now, why didn't you decide to just go out the back end with the USB or the one eighth inch jack out the back so you could plug the keyer in and just wrap the cord around the back? Is that the future 2.0 configuration or is it just, something at a pinch?
One of my keys has a plug-in cable. Another one has a screwed in. It's permanently mounted. So the varying lengths cable.
Okay.
So I wanted it to be as flexible as possible.
Got it.
So I have an extension going out the back.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then you've got like, you're running power poles everywhere, right?
Yep. So just one power pole in the back that goes from the round, whatever the diameter, 1-inch round disc power pole mount that goes onto a 1U blank on the back that's been drilled. That feeds a small DC distribution block, which then provides power for the radio, the tuner, and I have a USB charger that's plugged on the front for, you know, you're running your phone or iPad.
Now, are you running like a, was it a Mountain River distribution block or just like a, you know, knock, Amazon knockoff type block or?
No, it was one of the, was it Mountain River? West Mountain?
Oh, West Mountain is what I was thinking of.
Yeah, West Mountain. And it's a six port. I'm only using three of them. So
cool. Okay, so it sounds like Ryan's got a good layout. So how much of that design that you're taking, Todd, to apply to what you're building? Because I know you when you started thinking down this path, you were like, oh, I can put USB-C, I can put USB-A in there, I can, you know, power pull the crap out of it, you know.
So yeah. You know. Well, again, talking with Ryan, he's already done this before, so he's the expert, right? I like that idea. I do want a USB-C port because everything's going USB-C. So I want a USB and USB-C. I want to be able to, I don't do CW now, but maybe in the future, might want to be able to just modify it just so I could do it. Mm-hmm. But like I said, the three things that are going to be in this box for me is a speaker, the tuner, and the radio. And then everything else is going to be outside. So batteries, that gives me options. I can use different batteries. You know, I don't have to bring, you know, my field day battery if I'm doing a pull to activation. Also, you know, leaving a battery in the box, you know, it adds weight and, you know, you're limited to that battery. So I'm really going to go with what he's doing. Ryan's the expert in it, and I have to do something first to see how it is, and then I'll be able to come back and tell you after we build it what I would do differently.
We'll do a 2.0.
I mean, yeah, because I know I'm like, oh, I wish I did that. But, you know, that'll be the fun of it because now once I learn how to get it done the first time, and like I said, I'm a learner, like by doing first, I have to like physically do the work and then it sticks with me. So then I'll look at other things, you know, and I've been reading up and watching videos and reading, going on websites and stuff. And, you know, there's a lot you can do. There's a whole different options. I think this is going to be the one, cause I really want it for, my goal is for field day and POTA. Like when you say, hey, bring your, you're going to be a station captain. I want to be able to bring my, pick up that radio, unhook the front end and back end, plug it in and be done with it. Right.
Right.
Not have to worry about it. It also protects it. You know, it's in this, like these cases, that I bought, like the one that Ryan has, I did the 4U based on his recommendation, but they're pretty, you know, they're pretty protective. You know, it's, the radio is not going to get dinged. I mean, clearly you can't just like toss it around, but you know, it's going to be in a protective case. And if you put it in the trunk, you know, of your car and you're going to do POTA, it's going to be there. You pull it out, you carry it to wherever you're going and you set it up. It's going to be quick, simple. And it's not, I mean, think of it this way. When my radio died on field day and he gave me his radio, he just gave me the box. And once I figured out how to open up the two panels, it was 2 seconds. I had the battery plugged in and it was on. I mean, that was it. It was like plug in the antenna, plug the battery in, hit power and you're good to go. So that's kind of how I want to get it done.
Excuse me. These
plastic cases, they're very rugged. They're used for traveling musicians and audio professionals, and you know they're meant to hold heavy rack gear and go on tours and you know be you know bounced around in the back of a truck. So it's a sturdy design, and you know on my Go Box I used 2 racks and cut them up and everything. But practically, what you know it doesn't show. I probably went through 4 or 5 different of them, you know, cutting, bending, figuring out, oop, I cut too much or I didn't bend enough and that rack was ruined. So I bought 5 or 6 of them, ended up using 2 finally, but the R&D process was, it took a while.
There's a thing in the metalworking world that says use cardboard first. It'll save you in the long run for sure. So back to GoBoxes, because I'm a big bag snob, I guess, in some senses. I mean, I will always just, you know, jump and spend whatever it costs to get a really good, decent bag. But so in the case of gear boxes and things like what we've been just, you know, talking about, the Gator boxes, one thing that I'm big proponent on is additional storage and not using, you know, using places that a Go box or a, you know, travel rack box have. Like, the one thing that really drives me nuts is that they don't provide enough mesh netting inside the covers themselves. Does the Gator box include one of those mesh netting zipper kind of things where you can store stuff in one of the panels?
No, but the 4U, there's enough extra cubic volume in there where you could have a soft bag to store small items for while you're traveling.
Right.
And keep it there. For example, the handheld mic, headset adapter, and a few other small things I keep in the Go box, and it's in a soft little bag. So you can easily stuff it in there. And, you know, there's a use case for every piece of hardware. You know, so if you have a 705, that's going to be much more portable. You're going to be, thinking backpack, lightweight, and small batteries. These style Go boxes that we're using for field day, it's all contained, but it's much more of a, as Todd described, you know, working out of the back of your vehicle. You're not backpacking and doing sodas with it. Field days, those type of use cases, I think it's really slick setup. It's clean, simple, but it is portable, but it's not super lightweight where you're going to be going to a very rugged location to POTA.
Right. Yeah, my idea, Eric, was I want to also be able, like, if we go down to the Cape every year, so I want to be able to bring my HF stuff, and I want to bring my POTA gear, but I want to go down there and set up my radio on the porch and be able to use it whenever I want, like out in the back deck, and have basically like what I have here at my shack, out there, you know, on the Cape. Again, I think it's going to be good because I'd like to do some more POTA where instead of kind of rushing, doing the POTA and leaving the park, maybe just staying there. Right. So,
okay.
Let's say I go to a park, like say on the coast, right. Like on the beach or whatever. And, you know, we're going out with the family. I could go there. I could set it up. You know, we could have a whole little, you know, not like a day camp kind of thing. And then I could turn it off and come back and turn it back on. And it's just all there. You know, we're talking about like Go bags. So I went to Vermont last week and was going to activate Vermont, and I was totally psyched about it. It was a perfect day, found the perfect park, get it all set up, and no coax. Yep, it was sitting there on my desk. Mm-hmm. So didn't get to activate Vermont. Was going to go today. Clearly, it was pouring down rain, so didn't do that. So So what I did is I ended up getting a bigger bag than the bag that I was using, this 5.11 bag, which anyone that doesn't know what 5.11 or 5.11, it's basically, the company is for law enforcement and firemen and paramedics, but the equipment or the materials and the bag, I've never had a problem with them. I wear their pants. Everything I've gotten from them ever is just phenomenal, and it takes a beating. They always look brand new. So I bought a bigger bag, a backpack. So I had a sling bag, and the only thing it didn't hold was my antenna. So now I got this Rush bag, and I got the small one, and it covers, I have everything in it. I got my 891, my battery charger, antenna. I got the buddy pole in there. I got a zipper pouch with all the connectors and stuff, and my iPad, and it all fits in one backpack. So now for that, I'm like POTA ready to, hey, let's go do a POTA. I'm just grabbing that backpack. It's all packed. It's going to stay packed unless I'm charging the battery and I'm going. This idea with this Go box is going to be more thought process, like, oh, let's go do a club POTA activation. Well, then I would be bringing this, setting up the DX10 with the Go box. And that way,
you know, so we have a- interesting thought with this. This is my struggle here in my head with the Go box itself and the size versus like my Go bag, where it's a mix of stuff, but it's still more portable for me to either do a 3 hour activation or, you know, a half an hour, 45 minutes, depending on the time frame. Would you see yourself taking that same box and bring it to an hour activation, or would you just be like, no, it falls into a specific criteria that I pull that out?
It depends. Like, I love my 891, but
that's a ham answer all the time.
It does. I mean, like, if I was going to, you know, if I'm going to go and do, an hour activation at a park that I already know about, and I can bring that DX10 and throw it in the back of my Jeep and then unhook it and put it in, I'm going to use the DX10.
Okay.
If I'm, you know, obviously if I'm flying somewhere, I'm not bringing that thing with me.
No,
it's going to stay in the thing. But, you know, if I was going to go camping or I was going to go on vacation for a week, I might bring both. I might bring the bag and the DX10. That way, if I'm wherever I'm staying, I might set that up, and then I'll have the bag with the 891 to go do run off and do a quick POTA activation. So
unless your wife limits your carry on luggage and how much you can bring with you the weekend away, you know, you
might that's one there. It's one box and one backpack. That's not that much.
Yeah, you got to wear clothes too, but hey, those are just optional. Yeah. Depending on where you're going.
I'll wear layers, right?
Yeah, right. Just get everything one shot. So I'm trying to. I love the idea of a Go box, and this is kind of where I'm struggling, you know, with, you know, the leap as we start to, you know, get further down the rabbit hole of, you know, how I'm going to be changing over and moving my DX10 into something similar to this. I love the idea of it. It makes sense. And I would probably go crazy in the sense of making it modular enough that I don't ever have to. And I come from IT. So my big world is once it's racked and put in place, it doesn't get touched. So cabling inside, cabling to the front of the device, you know, all of the modularity of, you know, simple things like, okay, how do I deal with two operators? You know, what type of connection does that look like? I mean, obviously, I've got the one mic port. I could always plug into that, you know, but how can I take the capability away of having to go into the, like, even if it's simple as plugging into the front of the radio, which every radio pretty much has a radio mic port, but, you know, being able to just really just kind of streamline and keep everything very clean, like Ryan's kind of approach with his Go box on front and, but on the back have every modular component, you know, that I would need or consider that's running off that battery, you know? So, help me understand that.
That's the neat thing about making your own Go box. So I part of my experimenting in the R&D process was I got a couple of the 1U, and for everyone who's not familiar with this U standard, 1U is 1 1¾ inch tall.
Yep.
So figure out how much height you need, and you can, you know, figure out 3U, 4U, whatever works for your needs. But I got a 1U blank piece of sheet metal that goes over the front of the mounting holes and goes, it's about 19 inches wide. And I started going through, I'm like, okay, this was for the 1U mount on the front. I'm like, okay, well, originally I wanted a plug for the CW key. I wanted a plug for the headset. I wanted a plug for USB charger. And I drilled a whole bunch of holes in it and put in the accessories. I'm like, it's a little too much. So then I got another 1U blank and reduced the number of holes and started playing around with it. So if you want to get super creative and add a whole bunch of things, you can do that. Just break up the step drill bit and start cutting away. I put a whole bunch into it originally. And then before I finally got to my the revision I'm at right now, I reduced it a bunch.
Okay.
So kind of did the bare minimum.
Okay. And why did, like, so here's my question to you. Why did you decide to pare it down versus just making it more kind of, we'll call it selective in terms of what ports that you use? Because obviously I could see the benefit to having a USB-C or USB-A 2.0 port to charging a phone or whatever off the battery you have, you know, having the capability to have all of the gear and Well, and most of the radios we're putting in are modern radios, so we don't have to worry about having a sound card port or whatever. But being able to have a USB-C to, or USB-A to, you know, B conversion port off the back. And then the other thing I'm thinking of is like, okay, well, why now do I have to lug a second device for logging? Why couldn't I just stick like a Nook-like or, you know, something similar to that in that device? And then the only thing I really have to bring is a monitor, but then, you know, I can find a 1U monitor screen that flips up right in the front. And, you know, this is where my problem starts to get really, really compounded and worse. So
I would say it came down to a lot of the ergonomics, you know, the feng shui of how the various devices were sitting on the desk at field day. So I basically modded out my shack desk and said, if I'm here at field day, I have my Go box right in front of me, had the laptop on top. How are the ergonomics going to work out? And I came to the conclusion, I want less ports on the front. I emphasized the ports on the back, and whatever I am plugging in, I had an extension cable so I could move it around on the table. Okay. And so far it seems to work out pretty well.
Oh, okay. So I know, Ryan, in your Go box, you've got a tuner, and I understand the purpose of the tuner and why you'd want to do that. Todd, you were obviously talking about in some of your, when you started to list the parts going in there, was a tuner. Why a tuner in a Go box when most of the time the antennas you're carrying are going to be resonant? Do you ever find that, is it just a good thing to have, or is it just a, you know, hey, it doesn't cost much more to throw one in?
Yeah, I would say peace of mind. So for example, I'm using my main antenna is a step IR, the crank IR vertical. And most of the time you get a very close, a 1-1 match. And great antenna. But if I was to extend it fully out and try to tune up 80 meters, it's not going to be resonant.
Okay.
So that's where the tuner would come in handy. And I could just take it out of bypass mode, hit the tune button, and I'm good to go.
Okay. And so, Todd, were you thinking you wanted to be operating on the 80-160 realm too, where you don't do it now with the antennas you have, or are you just looking to do the...
Yeah, I'm not going to need it with the... I'm not going to need it with the body pole, but if I had just an NFED, if I decided I'm going to put up a 20 meter NFED or another antenna that doesn't like a buddy, like say we do, like what do you call it? The buddy sticks or not? Yeah. What do you call it? Is that what it's called? The buddy?
Yeah. The buddy stick. Yeah. You're talking about the dipole on a, you know, mask.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's nice to have the tuner, and I wasn't going to put a tuner in it, to be honest with you, but, more reading and listening. I guess the DX10 tuner is not as good as it could be. And the tuner that I found, all the reviews saying that they hooked it up with the DX10, it's set up for Yaesu, and they said it just works phenomenal. I don't think the DX10, and I don't quote me on this, but I don't think it can go below.
It's 3-1. You can't go any higher than 3-1. Yeah.
Yeah. 3-1.
Yeah. I come the same way though, right?
Yep. Yeah. And most of the external tuner boxes, you know, go up to, say, 10-1.
Yeah. Right. They can tune a wet noodle in most cases. But yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just making things a little bit better. And, you know, it's I think it's a good investment to have it in there. And you never know, you know, you don't want to be caught without one. Or let's say your internal tuner goes. I mean, things go on radios, as we know from my experience. So it's always nice to have an extra tuner in there, and it'll fill up some of the space. So.
Yeah. Or the example of you loan your Go box to someone else and you don't know what type of antenna they're going to use.
Right.
Yeah, good point. So
your bases are covered having that tuner in there, and it's much more broad range.
Now, you guys think it's advisable to include a solo controller in that configuration or leave it out as a external?
Definitely external.
Also, yeah, why?
Yeah, that'd be part of the power. Well, two things. One, it's adding weight. So the battery, solar charge controller, solar panels, that would be a whole separate set of equipment. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just compartmentalize the various equipment. Go box with just radio and tuner, that goes in one. Everything power related, go in a second one.
Interesting. Yeah. Cause I would have thought I would have gone with I'm thinking like in my Go bag, I have the buddy stick, I keep saying buddy stick pro, sorry, Todd keeps saying the buddy power uh Buddy Power Pole Mini. That's that small little, it's not bigger than say the size of, a small, True SDX, or maybe just a little bit bigger, but I mean, it's not major weight in that sense. And I would be like, oh, that'd be perfect amount inside the box, because in essence, the only thing it's really providing is, statistic measurements and stuff like that if you really needed it. But anyway, were you going that road, Todd, or you could just try to pull, like, Ryan said, away from it?
Well, yeah, I mean, my thought is that, like, let's say I don't want to have that radio with me, but I have the 891 and I want to bring my solar panels for whatever reason. It's going to be a long day. I don't want to have to buy two controllers when I just need one. So yeah, my thing is, and after I do this box, I think what I'm going to do is maybe make some kind of maybe some battery boxes, kind of like a battery go box. Like I've seen them.
A big geek and a little geek by K Murder.
Well, yeah, I mean, kind of like that, but like I have the big battery that I use for field day. I mean, it might be kind of cool to have that into kind of a customized box that, it sits in there. I could charge it up and do everything and hook it all up and have like a carrier and thing for it. I mean, it's kind of like a strap on it, but I mean, it really depends. I mean, I don't want a big box when I'm doing POTA and I've got my backpack, because I want that battery. I mean, I'm even looking at getting smaller batteries, because the battery I have is pretty bulky. I'd rather get two smaller ones. Maybe one.
Like a 9 amp hour.
Yeah. But, it, like I said, this isn't like I'm grabbing this and this is all I'm going to grab. This is the radio and the main components of the radio. The other battery and all that kind of stuff is going to be, like I said, the pouch. Like, I'm a big fan of those zipper pouches. I got a whole bunch of them. And I like to put certain parts. Like, so right now I have all the Yaesu DX10 parts, the pedal, the hand controller, the mics, everything that I have that all in one pouch. So that way when I grab that radio, I just grab that pouch. It's all in one place. I'm not sharing. Like I know I could take things off of it, but I'd rather have all my stuff. Right. I'd rather have stuff for my shack, stuff for my DX10, stuff for my POTA bag.
The kiss of death when you do that, because when you start stealing from Rob Peter to pay Paul from other bags, you just never get it back in there and you end up missing.
Right. And then you're constantly undoing it. So like I said, I want to be able to, my goal for field day is, when you say, Todd, you want to be a station cat? Yeah, sure. I want to be able to like grab my stuff, show up, set up, and then sit back and watch everyone else struggle. Because I'm the guy always struggling, because I've never done it. And I'm like, this year, I bought this awesome shelter and it was delivered and it was inverted inside out. Like it literally took us. I don't even know how. I'm like, someone must have returned this because it was inside out. And fortunately, we were able to flip it around, but it wasn't easy. So, but yeah, I mean, that's going to be the thing. And then that way, if, with this go box, my other thought is like, let's say I'm doing my thing and we have the antenna set up, but, Ryan leaves and he takes his radio for with him, but he leaves his step IR. I could go and bring my radio over there and plug it in.
Yep.
Right. Just grab the box. Bring it in, plug, done. So, I could move around to different antennas, say, and not have to, pack the put the radio in the box, fit it all in, close everything. I mean, it's basically the two panels. There's what, two clips on each side?
Pretty much.
And that's it. And yeah. Again, I think too is, I think, Eric, you're thinking more of like, like pure mobile. This is kind of, I look at it as like you said, Ryan, being like the stuff is made for music. Like if you're a band, right, you have multiple boxes for different things. You got amps, you got, your guitars, your drum, whatever. And this would be like the same thing. Like this is going to be my not short-term activations, short-term radio, but like if we're going away for a holiday, like you went to Maine, yes, that's coming with me.
Yeah, see, that's you get me there. So I get the point of building the box that way. My problem is I build the box and it would sit. And so it's sort of I kind of look at it in the sad sense of like it looks like the N1MM Go box that I built for our club. It gets used once a year, and most of the time I'm probably not going to drag it out unless I really want to revisit my DX10. So that's where my struggle is in that sense. It's like I'd love to put it in a box, love to use it, but I also want to use it a lot as much as my, soon to be.
Well, when we go do a dual POTA activation, two radios, you can use the 891 and I'll bring my DX10. And
well, we better bring a lot of filtering. Kill each other.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
But,
so,
but you know, I mean, that's where I've always thought it to be. I just wanted to be able to bring my radio and be able to set it up in a simple way, not having to worry about different wires. I want to be clean. I like the way Ryan has everything perfectly nice and tight, clean. It's like I said, I never played with, took his radio or anything. I didn't know anything. He gave it to me. It was evening too, right? It was getting dark.
Yeah. It was in the dark.
It was in the dark and I was able to plug, like get it up. That was it. So, I mean, so that's
why Jesu guy can make a contact every once in a while. So
yeah. Yeah. He saved the day. Team Icon. Icon.
All right, so let's kind of bring this back. So if those of you kind of been, you know, following along a little bit, because we've been jumping around in a little bits and pieces here, but so ultimately we're starting with a 4U base, you know, a good rugged, you know, case. We've got, you know, the radio mounted permanently with a tuner, some additional distribution for power and, you know, things like lighting and, you know, keyers and microphones and stuff like that. What would be the one thing, like, because I know the one thing that's kind of popping in my head that I know Ryan got on early on was the microphone interconnect standard by why am I drawing his name? He built that whole kit.
Halibut Electronics.
Yeah. And so Mark. He designed that around the idea for field day. So for modularity, being able to plug it, whatever headset in, being able to tie into external speaker while also listening on your headset. I mean, he kind of built it really well, and it sounds like it's going to be a great launch. That would be integral for me, I think, in a, you know, that type of box, because then I don't care what the person is that's sitting next to it plugs into, because he or she can use the headset, he or she can use a hand mic or a foot pedal or whatever I've included in there, or a mix of all of them at the same time, and allow the audience that are standing behind them to be able to hear what's going on while you're working those contacts.
Absolutely. So that's going to be my version 2.0. Yeah. He came out with two pieces of hardware right now that allows you to integrate whatever microphone, headset, speaker you want. But his he's coming out with a console station right now. And once he kind of perfects that and gets that available for sale, I'm definitely going to integrate that into the Go Box. And, you know, we can put that link for his Halibut Electronics in the show notes here. Yep. But it's fascinating. And once that standard gets out there and it's kind of more broad range across the hobby, it's going to,
it's going to be great. It's going to be phenomenal for being able to not have to worry about the types of cables and whether it's line input or mic input or, you know, whatever. It will make that modular.
And that goes back to the previous comment. So I had suggested, you know, a tighter, smaller 3U case, which would be great if I had the current equipment right now, but if I'm adding something in future, like this new contesting interconnect, the 4U is going to be invaluable in trying to get equipment stuck in there. So I think 4U is the smart choice.
Right.
And it's much more plug and play.
Now, Todd, what did you go for? What manufacturer did you use for GoBox? Maybe if you got the link or whatever, we'll put it in the show notes, but do you know off the top of your head, was it the same GatorBox that Ryan had or? Okay.
So yep, I got it right on Amazon. They're not cheap, but they're very well made. I mean, it's professional equipment. It's not like you went, you know, you didn't go down to like Harbor Freight and buy like the cheap box for $30 and this stuff, even though those boxes are
pretty good. They'll do circles around the
But this is good quality stuff. And like I said, I mean, I'm putting what does the DX10 go for? Like $1,600? Like,
yeah, 15 is some change now. Yeah.
Like I said, I'd rather, like Ryan says, you know, buy once, cry once. That's the new motto, because I do it all the time. I try to save money, and then I end up buying the expensive stuff anyway. I do it with everything I do. So I'm going with him, with his motto. I'm just going to do it right the first time. But, you know, and again, I say that now, but you know, like how it is like how many times, I mean, it seems like we're always adjusting shacks and buying new bags. And I mean, I'm on my third bag for my POTA stuff because I haven't gotten it to where I want it to be. So I'm hoping this one will this one will do it. But the reason I got this bag is because of when I'm traveling, you know, I got things in three different spots. Now I bring that bag out. I'm unloading that bag. It zippers all the way up when I get to the TSA, and I'm putting everything in one of those bins, the whole bag.
Yeah. Well, you know,
I'm not gonna, yeah. Yeah, the TSA. I have a lot of stories about them.
We will definitely have that. I got that in our show notes. We'll have to, you know, devote a whole entire time to you know, how to work around the TSA and be able to appease the TSA gods and getting your gear through. But so we got the base of the hardware. So I want to kind of bring a little bit of closure to this a bit. So tuner, the radio,
speaker.
You know, speaker, so
external speaker.
Are you know, this is a powered speaker, just a passive speaker?
Yeah, it's just a powered speaker. It's for Yaesu radios, but it says it's Yaesu. It's not a Yaesu brand, but it's what they recommend.
For the one or whatever it is.
Yeah something is do they own that company or is it just a
commercial line?
Yeah, so it's just a little speaker. It's kind of like Icom makes one for their radios. It's like $50. And I'm going to mount that in there. That way I can hear it better if I'm using the speaker. And most of the time when I use the DX10, I have my headphones on, but which would be too. I mean, that's one of the things I want to try with the 891 is because sometimes you're at a park or whatever and people are blasting music or a car goes by or a train goes by. Like one time I was trying to make contact, a train is, you know, and I couldn't hear anything. So sometimes it's nice to have the muffled sound so you can just concentrate on what you're hearing.
Right.
Yeah. You know, another thing I would consider adding in the future is some type of a voltage regulator. Yeah. Or not voltage.
Like a meter type, right? Yeah.
A meter to see what your current power level is instead of having to walk around the table and get up out of the chair and figure out, you know, my current meter is right near the battery, which is at the end of the cabling, which is 10 feet away, which, is, you know, so having it right at the box, I think would be much more ergonomic.
Okay. And then so the other thing that kind of came, so that voltmeter sounds like it's a definite must, you know, for just ease of use and have the USB-C port off maybe the front for, you know, charging your phone or whatever, some USB-C device. Mm-hmm. I think your box has one, Ryan. Do you have a portable light?
I do not have a light. That would be a nice addition.
Yeah. I was definitely thinking that because in the dark, especially when you're not familiar with the radio, it would be nice to... to all your manufacturers out there, that would be a huge thing is having the things light up like a keyboard.
Yeah.
Especially if you're doing POTUS stuff. Because,
It's tough. So, okay. So we got those three. Those, I think, are three really like critical items to have on the actual 1U panel rack that you kind of built. What other, I know there's one other that we're missing that I think would be almost like a critical. You know,
give us a hint. What do you think?
So power. I would love to be able to figure out like a watt meter would be like if there was a way to put a watt meter / SWR meter. I mean, obviously you're getting that off the radio, but be able to have that truly in line in the antenna, you know, run. That for me would be phenomenal to be able to see my S meter status, my power meter, you know, watt meter status. Because I mean, MFJ's got a small, like it's not 1U, but it's a little bit bigger than 1U. That would be one of the things I'd probably put in there just for the capabilities of being able to see that I'm actually putting forward power out on the antenna or not. Because we have run into those problems. I mean, Todd's got a perfect example with his DX10 when the finals fried that, you know, that we didn't know we were putting no power. There was no power going out the antenna outside of what we were looking on the meter. And if you weren't looking on the radio meter, then you would normally not know.
Made four contacts, though. Four contacts.
Yeah, less than a half a watt.
I would say... That comes down to finding the specific hardware you want to put in.
Okay.
And then figuring out how it fits in the box. Mm-hmm. And you got to custom make the bracket, figuring how it's going to be secure. And on each one of my pieces of hardware that's in the box, you know, two firm attachment points left and right of that piece of hardware. And once I got it put in there, I shook it all around, made sure it didn't move. Everything was solid. For the Icom, I got lucky. DX Engineering has a pre-made bracket. So most of the radios have two screws on either side. And this pre-made bracket fits right in alignment with those screws. And then I took that bracket and mounted it to the 1U shelf.
Okay.
So for me, for the ICOM, it's very plug and play. It's been a while, but I previously looked for Yaesu. I did not see a pre-made bracket like that. No. So we're going to have to, you know, figure out where the drill holes are and fold up the sheet metal and make our own bracket.
Well, the other thing with the Yaesu, there is a manufacturer, third party manufacturer makes like their basically C channel, small low profile C channel bracket that works with the feet on the bottom of the Yaesu DX10. So you can mount it to the rack, which is, you know, a big plus, but you could always fabricate something pretty quickly. I'm sure a lot cheaper too, as well, to mount.
Yeah. I mean, if it's pre-bent and pre-drilled, that's the way to go.
Yep.
Cause then it's just, it's a very clean setup.
Plug and play.
And that saved me a lot of time getting mine set up on the R&D process.
Now, here's one thing I struggle with that kind of triggered my thought when we were talking about lights and power and you know, with all of that, we get heat. And so how has your go box been, Ryan, in terms of just the, you know, the heat and, you know, the humidity and, you know, do you have any, you don't have any cooling outside of what's built into the radio itself?
No, but you know, one thing I try not to keep it in direct sunlight,
which is and then a photo, but yeah.
Yep. And there's a front and rear panel on the box. So the back panel comes out. So there's a free flow of air front to back and it works great. Good. You know,
okay.
No issues during field day.
I would think.
So it's not like it's only one entrance. So the front is the radio and all of a sudden, and then the back is opened. Mm-hmm. So you take the front and the back. So it's kind of like a box with no ends, a front end or a back end is just like a tunnel. So there's a lot of flow. So it really won't make that much of a difference.
Well, to some extent, if you've got your tuner in there and you're adding your light configuration, those are 1U panels or 3/4 panels themselves that are going to start to fill up those slots. One thing I was thinking of is Noctu has like these small little, very super quiet, you know, less than a couple of half a watt, you know, small little fans that go into smaller chassis, which would be nice to be able to just mount to like a 1U that's doing like a push pull attempt. And that way, you know, even if you happen to be and you couldn't get out of, you know, being in a sheltered way, that would still be able to vent the, you know, pull out the excess of heat in a black box. I mean, that's the biggest problem is they're black. So, you know, they are definitely going to absorb a lot of heat. I know my radio, Todd, you bought that little shelter tent for the 891 just to keep the radio from overheating. You know, when we were operating on a park bench, I can imagine that case was just going to absorb a lot of heat, especially in like the summertime.
So one thing that makes a big difference is keeping all the wires in the back of the box clean and tidy. Mm-hmm. So I did spend a lot of time. I had some leftover coax, not the LMR 400 in the shack, but some thinner gauge, put a straight, you know, PL259 connections on it. And I figured out exactly the length I needed and just kind of mocked up the routing of it. And on two of the connections, it made sense to have the 90 degree connections. So I figured out the length I needed. Went on the Messi and Polony site and had two cables custom ordered. I think memory serves me, they're either 16 or 17 inches.
Yeah, short.
But it was exactly what I needed to give a nice clean routing in the back. And then everything was, all the wires were kept low and out of the way, which does allow better airflow through that box.
Okay. Now we could get into the rat hole on cabling. So I won't go down that far. I mean, you mentioned Messi and Polony and they are top notch. I love their cabling. I love their Evo ends. They, you know, they're rebuildable. If you haven't gone to their website, just go there, order yourself a cable and you will be so happy with it. I would say for HF, and we're only talking, it sounds like our boxes in general are HF only, and that's perfectly fine. You don't have to use LMR 400 for such short runs if you don't want to spend the extra money in there, because you can get away with, you know, an RG8U or a G8X and because they're so short runs that, you know, it'll probably give you a little more flexibility too with cabling if you're building your box for that type. But the feed line going out to the antenna, you know, spend the money there for sure. You won't regret it. But, you know.
Yep. So they have either their HyperFlex 5 or HyperFlex 7 was thin enough that I think I went the HyperFlex 5.
They even have their UltraFlex 10, which is like their 7, which is actually just as it's stronger cable, thicker cable in terms of their, you know, center coil, but it's actually pretty flexible. I love the 10 that I bought for my, what's the antenna I have? The umbrella. I keep thinking of it. I just draw a blank. Buddy poles, buddy hex. There we go. That's what I was thinking of. But anyway. Okay. So it sounds like we got a good base. Really good start of a good layout. So you got your 1.0 built. So just to kind of get to the last few bullet points, where are you right now, Todd? And, you know, what can we kind of expect? And when should we circle back around to see how this whole process is going to turn out? And you get to do a field test with it. And what does that field test, Mike, look like?
Well, the first thing is I got to get my radio back. It needs to work. So it went out this week. I don't know how backed up Yaesu is. I'll get an email when they get in, what they're going to do with it. And I do have the box it's going in. I ordered the tuner and the speaker. So and I have I have two shelves. One's too big though, I think. But I've got at least one shelf. And so I think what's going to happen is when I get all that stuff and I get the radio back, Ryan and I are going to sit down and make a list of things that I need to get things going. And we'll just start off slow, do it right. And when I get it done, I'll get it done. And then as soon as it's done, I'll be taking it out for sure.
Cool. Well, hopefully we'll see some of it on the website, at least, you know, maybe, you know, Instagram or something.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna probably take, you know, do some pictures and maybe some blogs on where we're at and all the parts. So that'll be something we'll definitely do.
Sweet, cool. Well, any closing comments, Ryan? You want to throw at him, or you know, what he needs to start opening his wallet for?
I mean, this whole process is fun. I love building things and designing. You know, finding a solution to the problem, and this is just, it's a lot of fun. So
cool.
I could spend weeks just building Go boxes. So
yeah, see, you could almost make a business out of it, but you know, then it'd get boring.
No, I mean, the level we're doing it at here, this is a lot of fun. If other people who are listening, if they can say, you know, get ideas and learn from our mistakes, I think that's even better.
I agree.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I think this is something I can visualize in my head. A lot of the ham radio stuff, I'm so new to it, it's hard to visualize until I see it. But this, I've got an idea in my head. I can see my Go box. I just don't actually physically have it. So looking forward to it. It's going to be cool. And we'll definitely we'll come back and talk about the build. And I guess and then maybe I'll do a little video of my first test. And we can throw that up here too.
Okay. Well, and I'm still on the fence. I'm not ready to commit. You know, I'm sure I'll be swayed eventually after I see Todd's box. That usually the way it works is like, you know, you got to be part, you know, get in line and follow the other ducks in a row.
I mean, look at it. When I get bored of a Flex and I want to go back to my DX10, it's basically plug and play. I just go take the antenna and plop it in nothing and throw in a, you know, it's two cords. So can go back to using that if I want. So, but I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be great. It's, you know, I love my DX10. I thought that was going to be my long-term only radio. And then I was going to buy another radio to do this box with, but you know, things changed and I don't regret buying.
Yep.
Getting the Flex at all. So,
well, and so here's the monkey wrench that I'm just going to throw in there. It's like my Go box thought process is going to go right out the window if all of a sudden the Yaesu comes out with a 705 100-watt killer of the, you know, of the replacements that are 891. Then I'm not going to need a Go box because I'll have everything I need and it'll all be portable. I'll just have to get a bigger bag to fit the, you know, the new whatever 891 replacement is inside to be able to get all of my waterfall features and everything. So stay tuned for that one. We'll see how that one plays out.
If Yaesu's listening, do you hear what we want?
Yeah.
Well, come on. We've been waiting a long time.
I know. Damn those Icon people getting everything in a great, you know, get to experience the real true ham life. All right. Well, so let's wrap things up here. As always, we appreciate all of our listeners. Thank you for being part of the Live Free and Ham podcast. As always, you can connect with us by visiting our website at Live Free and Ham. You can get all our socials there. You can get our information and contact info on our website. And as always, We appreciate the feedback. And as always, you feel free to leave a review. And thanks again for listening from all of us at Live Free and Ham. 7-3.
Seven threes.
7-3.